Next on Gospel of Life, meet baby Joshua and hear the wonderful story of his early birth. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined, as usual, by our Associate Director, Janet Morana. And Janet, as you well know, as in the course of our ministry around the country, around the world, we are often asked questions about complicated pregnancies,
right,
about whether abortion is ever necessary to save the life of the mother or even to preserve her health. And, of course, the answer to that is no, as we often explain. In the course of complicated pregnancies, what you sometimes have to do is deliver the child early. Now, experts in maternal fetal medicine know quite well that they're dealing with two patients, the mother and the unborn child. And according to the first principle of medicine, which is that you do not do any harm to your patients, the idea here is not to save one while killing the other. The idea is help them both. You have two patients, so you do your best for both. So even if a baby is delivered early, with our modern techniques and methods of medicine, the survival rate is higher and higher for babies born earlier and earlier. Well, today we're going to meet one of those babies, as you well know, and we're going to speak with his mom. And we're going to see here now an inspiring story of how where there is life, there is always hope, and how the reality of these babies being born earlier and earlier gives a whole new meaning to the concept of viability, which is right at the center of the pro-life cause and message, and how it just inspires and can inspire more and more people to realize that they don't have to go down the road of doing something that's wrong. Rather, they can let their love overflow and do what's right for these children.
Right. Well, in January, I was at the March for Life, and I met Melanie, who's going to join us shortly, her family. And the sad thing for the mom was, well, my daughter couldn't be with us today. And she took out this brag book, which I have here, and says, oh, but it's because she just had a baby recently, and he's a little preemie, and she has to be home to take care of him. And when she told me the story of Melanie's pregnancy and little Joshua, miracle baby, I said, oh, well, everyone has to hear this. Because, like you just said, Father, so many times we hear the life of the mother as the reason to have abortion, to save the mother's life. And as we know by Dr. Byron Calhoun has always said, it is never a case medically that you have to abort a child to save the mother. But
never.
That's right. But we take care of both patients. And Melanie's story just lines up with that. You know, I was so astonished to hear this in person, that this is the exact thing out of the medical textbooks that Dr. Calhoun always talks about. So we have on the phone today Melanie McFadden. She couldn't be with us in studio because she has to be home taking care of little Joshua. So welcome to the program, Melanie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, Melanie, why don't you take us back to right before little Joshua, you know, had to be taken from you. I believe you were having a difficult pregnancy and a diagnosis. So could you just tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yes, I did. I had some complications. I started to have swelling in my legs and difficulty breathing and early contractions. So I called the doctor, and when they brought me in, my blood pressure was very high, and they immediately admitted me to the hospital. They diagnosed me with preeclampsia, and basically that is just high blood pressure, and it can get to levels of strokes or seizures. But they also found out through ultrasounds that this was all happening at 26 weeks gestation, and they discovered from ultrasounds that because of my condition, around 24 weeks of gestation, Joshua had stopped getting enough oxygen and blood from me, so he started to stop growing, and they call it intrauterine growth restriction. So at 26 weeks and 3 days gestation, they decided for my safety and for Joshua's safety that they needed to take him out. it was safer for him to be outside than inside of me.
Right. And we know now that we have a picture, actually, of, I think, the very first day of little Joshua's life. And I see here he was born at 1 pound, 7 ounces. Yeah. And about 12 inches long, which I have a ruler here on the set. And, you know, we can really get an idea of how tiny little Joshua was, right?
Yes, very small.
What were exactly the complications then when he was first born? You know, what were the doctors saying and what happened from there?
When he was first born, my husband was waiting outside the operating room, and he actually was able to see them take Joshua from the operating room to the neonatal intensive care unit, and immediately the first thing they could tell us was there's a 50-50 chance, and they did everything they could for him to keep him alive and to help him grow, and he had him, you know, he went through a lot, but he never stopped fighting, and he made it, and he's just really a miracle.
Of course, the issue at that particular stage primarily is the lung development, and
right.
That is something that so 26 weeks they delivered him, and they told you it was a 50-50 chance, and of course you came down on the right side of the 50.
Yes, he did.
How long did Joshua stay in the hospital then?
He was in the hospital for 5 months and 7 days.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Joshua's birthday was the 1st of June?
June 1st, 2007.
Okay.
And he was 1 pound, 7 ounces, 12.5 inches long.
That is wonderful.
Well, I know we have some more recent pictures, which we're going to show our audience.
Yes.
And I know now he has a delightful smile, right?
Right.
And I see when he folds his hands, he looks like he's praying, right, in one of the pictures.
Yes, most of my pictures, he has his hands right up together, and we would pray with him at the hospital, and I think he's a natural-born prayer.
That is fantastic. That is really something, and I mean, this is not something that we ever can foresee or predict or foretell. What kind of thoughts were going through your minds during those days between when you realized he was going to have to be delivered early? And when you realized that he was, in fact, surviving?
There was 3 days. I was in the hospital for 3 days before they actually took him. And we knew it was inevitable they would have to take him at some point. We just tried to prolong, you know, how long. We tried to stretch out the time that I could stay pregnant with him before they took him out.
That's right.
But when they came to me and told me, okay, it looks like we're going to have to, you know, take him early, my first thought was my child is going to die. You know, I didn't know much about neonatal intensive care, and I didn't know how wonderful it is. And I thought that he was, you know, going to have underdeveloped lungs and have all these other complications and not be able to survive. But when they took him and I first saw him 3 days after in this huge room with all these other babies just like him, and they, you know, there were so many things they could do, and all the complications they go through, there's something that they can do for all of these different, you know, types of things.
Yes, that's such an important point that you made right there, because there are many different risks, there are many different complications, both for the mother and for the child, and yet we're living in a place that enables us to deal with all these problems, and you saw that with your own eyes, you experienced that with your own life and with the life of Joshua. It is amazing. It must make you grateful to God and grateful for the gifts that God has given us with all this modern medical technology.
Yes, definitely.
And it's so important to have a doctor who is committed to using that technology. See, this is one of the problems that we encounter all the time. There's no doubt, there's no question that we've got the means to save children like Joshua and also to save your own life and health. We have the means to do it, but it requires the willingness of the doctors to take these steps and to say, okay, I've got two patients here, and we're going to do our best for both of you. Tell us a little bit about the attitude of the doctor that you had.
We had several doctors because he was there for so long, and they all do rotations. But
right.
You know, one thing would happen, and it was immediately, you know, they would just address it immediately,
mm-hmm.
and there was never a. In our experience, there was never the option. They never treated it like Joshua was not worthy of medical care.
Right.
He was a child, a baby to them, and it wasn't. Do you want to go ahead with medical treatment, or do you not? You know,
right.
He was entitled to that care, and they gave it to him.
That's,
you know, regardless, and that was wonderful.
And you know, Melanie, you know, as you know, in the abortion debate that we face all the time, life of the mother is the thing that the pro-abortion side always throws into the mix all the time, saying this is why we need abortion.
Right.
You know, and your case is just so striking that who would recommend abortion in a case like this? You know, it was, you know, they act like your doctor would say, oh, you have to abort this baby, rather than do what they did in your case, which let's deliver him early and
right.
give that little baby every chance he's got. But
right.
you were so fortunate to be in the right hospital with the right doctors who had the right, you know, attitude here.
Yeah.
Right.
And more and more people, I think, need to see that there really is, like good pro-life doctors tell us, never a case where you have to choose between the mother and the baby and tell a mother she has to abort her child. You know, Joshua is living proof that you do the best for both patients, and he's a little survivor. Right?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Well, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about your experiences and what this means for the rest of the people out there who may face similar circumstances. So, friends, stay with us here on Gospel of Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, welcome back. We're talking with a special friend on the phone. Melanie and her baby Joshua is an example of what can be done in our day and in our times. Joshua was delivered at 26 weeks of gestation. And Janet, it's an inspiring story, and Melanie certainly is rejoicing in having done the right thing. And one of the things that this brings to mind, of course, is all the friends that we have in the world of maternal fetal medicine.
That's right.
Dr. Byron Calhoun, one of our medical advisors for this ministry, heads up the pro-life society of maternal fetal medicine specialists. And one of the things we want to stress with our viewers during the course of this program is that anyone who has any of these complications of pregnancy and perhaps is encountering a doctor who is advising them to abort or telling them the myth that they need an abortion, the fact of the matter is we can refer them to a pro-life maternal fetal medicine specialist so that they never have to feel that they are being pressured or even given the slightest suggestion that the solution to this problem is to kill their child. We have right on our website the link to the internet site for the Pro-Life Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine, and people can find the doctors nearest to where they live.
That's right. And, of course, Tremelini will tell you that she has a little web page about Joshua's story, people, I'm sure, could look there for more inspiration. Melanie, do you want to tell us about your, I think Joshua has his own little MySpace page or blog or something?
I do have a MySpace page, and I turned it into mine and Joshua's MySpace page. And I also made a homepage for him, and it has, I did this while we were in the hospital and to keep all of my family and friends updated. And it is, do you want the website?
Yes, you could tell us what it is, and we'll have the link right on the front of our website as well for our viewers.
It's www.babyhomepages.net, and then you can look for Little Survivor or Joshua McFadden.
Wonderful.
You should be able to access it that way.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Melanie, I think this will be an encouragement for mothers who do get a diagnosis that for themselves that, oh, the baby's, you know, your health and this and that. And if a doctor's, you know, like Father said, is pushing abortion, we have the right doctors and we can just refer them, the mothers, to look at your page to say, look, these babies can survive, because you are really a great inspiration for that. You know, there's ads in the Yellow Pages for abortions up to 24 to 28 weeks. And you know, side by side, you put little Joshua, you know, that really brings meaning to this is what you're saying is legal in this country. Look at this, you know, and
I know.
And it's so sad. And I think your family, I know they're always standing up for pro-life activities you do down in Florida. That's how I first met your family. And it's just a pleasure to see that, you know, when you have your convictions, you stand with them, even when it's the tough decision here. And little Joshua is just such a miracle.
I know. I wish that America could see a living 26-week child like I had the opportunity to, because there's nothing but life there. He was a complete baby. Before, when I was pregnant with him, I did not realize that even that tiny 1 pound, 7 ounces, he was complete. He had 10 fingers, 10 toes. He moved. He had expression. He showed pain in his face, you know, when he was in pain. And I saw him on his third day of life outside of the womb. That was my first time to see him. And when I came real close to him and I said his name, Joshua, he opened his eyes for the first time. And to me, that was amazing. He recognized my voice, and he struggled to open his eyes because he recognized my voice.
Isn't that something? The voice.
And I think, yeah, that's a true miracle.
It is. It's the voice that he had been hearing all along in those earlier weeks and months in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous. Well, we want to thank you for sharing this story with us. And as we conclude, I'd like to show you, our viewers, once again, three images. I want to show you the image of Joshua that you've seen a number of times already on this program. The image of the Yellow Page ad. As you see, we have an ad up showing you 28 weeks abortion advertisement. And then the next four images are the images that we distribute of one of the most common abortion procedures that is used precisely during those weeks of pregnancy, those later abortions. And brothers and sisters, if this doesn't bring home the reality of what's going on and why we're fighting it, there's nothing that will. We want to thank you, Melanie. God bless you and God bless your family. And we look forward to being in contact with you more in the future. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on Gospel of Life. Stay with us now. We'll be back with our action segment to give you more things to do to fight abortion.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome to our action segment. Janet, we want to talk about helping the churches be more active during this election season. And there's a lot that churches can do in order to promote the civic responsibility of the members of their congregations.
That's right. Well, the first thing to do is to challenge your congregation, making sure that everyone is registered to vote.
Yes.
And you can do this by having voter registration at the end of your Sunday service. On a specific Sunday, you tell them ahead of time, you have the forms there. And you basically challenge everybody to stop at the table on their way out of church if they're not registered to vote.
Yeah, some churches have them available every Sunday. Why not? This is a basic aspect of people participating in the renewal of society, which the gospel calls us to work for. So, yes, nonpartisan voter registration, sure. Which means that we're not favoring any particular party or position when we register the voters, but rather giving an open opportunity to anyone and everyone who's eligible to register to do so.
That's right. And they can obtain these forms by going to our website because, you know, from state to state, they sometimes differ a
mm-hmm.
little bit.
Sure, yeah.
And it's politicalresponsibility.org where they can download the actual forms and get all the information to do a voter registration. And also on our website, they can see particular Sundays we've designated as voter registration Sunday, because the idea here is that if many churches in the same community are doing a voter registration on a particular Sunday, it kind of gets a little bit more momentum going in that community.
Yes, that's right. Now, churches, as well as activating people to be able to vote by registering them, can also educate the voters on the candidates and the issues. Now, when it comes to issues, churches have maximum freedom. We're always teaching and preaching about issues. And the fact that the issues might be issues that divide political candidates in an election does not in any way, shape, or form mean that the church has to stop talking about them. Quite the opposite. The church needs to talk about them. The church can even educate the members of the congregation about where do the candidates stand on the issues. Now, there are certain requirements, but basically a church can issue, for example, the candidate's voting records. That's right. Public information. And if a candidate already holds public office, they have a voting record, the church can make that known. Secondly, the church can issue comparison pieces, voter guides, again, as long as they're nonpartisan, which means that the voter guide cannot indicate the church's preference for or against the candidate or for or against a position. So it has to be, in that sense, neutral. But if it is, the church is certainly in a position to be able to educate its members on where the candidates stand.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why pastors are afraid to do the things we just mentioned is they're afraid of getting in trouble with the IRS. So I want to encourage people to contact us for this great booklet we had. We had a symposium, a legal symposium, and we have a booklet that gives you all the, really backs up the information from legal experts why churches can do the things we're saying.
Yes, and brothers and sisters, at politicalresponsibility.org, not only can you find that legal symposium, but pastors can find free legal advice and information on how to get it regarding any of their planned political responsibility activities. Well, now, friends, we're going to look at the aborted babies, and let's meditate on this violence and how we can stop it.
Until people saw images of children in coal mines, did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture, did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help. There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.